Yeah.
What's up with that, man? Like, really? So this is what we're doing with the playoffs now?
Hey, I guess so.
Man, all right. I guess. By the way, you realize that this game is going to be completely different than week one, right?
Yeah, I know. It's probably not going to go the same way week one went for, if you're a Buccaneer fan. But I'll say this. I'll say this. Just like the Buccaneers are not really playing that great, at the end of the season, Dallas haven't been playing. They've been a little inconsistent as well.
Well, see, I think Tampa can still win, but I don't think it's going to be like it was last time.
Like a shootout?
A shootout, but I don't think that. I don't think that we're going to have that type of shootout, so to say.
Yeah.
I'll be honest with you, I think it's going to come down to the kicking.
Well, if that's the case, they have a better kicker than what we have.
I hope it don't
come down to
if he is, it's not by much.
Well, he has a bigger leg.
Well, no, that might be true. But the thing is if we are going to beat Dallas, that defense is going to have to play Dallas like they did week one. And they're going to have to keep that. They're going to have to keep them out of field goal range. Because this is the other thing that I don't understand why everybody is so gung-ho on Ryan Jensen coming back.
Oh, I'm not.
Debo, talk to me.
Well, I'm going to talk to you real quick.
Explain it to me like I'm a 5-year-old child.
Okay, so in training camp, Ryan Jensen had a basically season-ending knee injury. Obviously, we're into the playoffs. Season is over, so yeah, season ending, right?
Right.
I had information. I didn't speak on it because I want to keep my sources, but I had information on it that, what he had was, it was pretty bad. We all saw the play. We know what happened when plays like that happen. You tear something.
Mm-hmm.
He's been out since the first day of training camp or the first week of training camp. So that it is January, and that happened in July. So you're talking 5 months. He opted out of surgery, didn't want to do it, and chose to go the rehab route. So as somebody who's familiar with the different means of procedures and things you can do when you injure yourself in that manner, there's a couple surgery-free and procedures that you can get done where they don't have to cut you open. It's still a procedure, but you don't get cut open, and you cut out the healing time from the actual surgery. So it is under my opinion because I wasn't told anything outside of what I said earlier. But it is under my impression that he sought one of those other options to where you basically get some type of platelet treatment done where, you basically shoot that area with your own PRP. And with that procedure, it's the recovery time is still about the normal recovery time for if you had a surgery. It's just that the body's natural healing process kicks in and you can actually regrow your ligaments. Sounds crazy, but that is what those procedures do. And he's not the first athlete that had it done. I want to say Kobe Bryant had one of those procedures done late in his career.
Yes, Kobe was really big on that.
Yeah. So
he publicly advocated for it.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, it's a little bit more. It costs. It's not cheap to get it done. But if you have the means to do it, that's another way you can go about it. So, I'm under the impression that that's what Jensen had done, and instead of, waiting out that process of healing from the surgery, dealing with scar tissue, dealing with the process where the ligaments have to fuse back to the bones because you got, the screws in your leg or in your knee to help with the fusing process. So that takes about 4 months if you have the surgery. That takes about 4 months, 3 to 4 months. He didn't have to go through that. So you kind of skip that phase and you go right into the rehab phase. And it cuts down on the recovery. So I'm under the impression that's what Jensen did. And that's why he is able to even have a remote chance of being activated for the playoffs. But with that being said, I'm not depending on Ryan Jensen to give us anything. Not being in football shape, not playing any football for 6 months almost. Your body's not ready for that. It doesn't matter. You take your whole 21 days and train. It doesn't matter. You're not ready to take them hits for the first time where it's going to literally take about a week for the soreness to go away after that game.
Well, the only way, and I do mean the only way, that I see him being ready for this game Monday night is that he was doing some training or something along those lines, or he was involved in some sort of secret or private practice that we were not privy to. And I mean, it has happened before with different players where they've been working out all along. They just haven't been in the public eye. Man, Debo, that is the only way that I see him being ready.
Well, yeah.
If not, Derek, Ryan Jensen is one of my favorite centers in the NFL. That, hands down, always has been. I was ecstatic when he came to Tampa. But if he has not been taking those hits, Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but wouldn't he be more of a liability on that offensive line than a help?
He might. I mean, listen. He has been doing some training. Obviously, he's training with non-contact, but he's been able to train and do football-related drills and all of that stuff. He was just cleared to play, you know, a few weeks ago. So before you get cleared, you know, you go through the testing phase to make sure you have that stability and that strength you need to play. So he's probably been training football-wise, doing football drills and stuff like that for probably a couple months. I'm going to say a month, 6 weeks probably before, you know, he was cleared, actually cleared to where they took him off of IR and said, okay, now you have 3 weeks to actually practice, where you have to practice to contact and do some things that we need to see that's, you know, translate for us to clear you and say, okay, you're active now. So, but again, to not play the whole season and be activated and ready to play come playoff time, yeah, that's not really going to happen. I don't see you being ready to be that effective. People are acting like Ryan Jensen is just, you know, knight in shining armor type of dude. I did my homework. I went and looked at the Pro Football Focus for Ryan Jensen last season that he was healthy. And then I went and looked at the Pro Football Focus numbers for our current center, which is Shaq Mason. And he's not doing that bad. So, to me, the only way even remotely Ryan Jensen impact shows is if you activate Ryan Jensen and then you move Shaq Mason to left guard. Because if you just do a swap for swap, you're going to get the same play out of Ryan Jensen that you're currently getting out of Shaq Mason. Both of them are veteran guys. So, there's no true upgrade enough for me to say, okay, with Ryan Jensen back, this is going to put us over. Because you're taking out a guy who's performing to the same level of what Ryan Jensen gave us in his last healthy season. And now he's a year older, coming off of a major injury, folks. Just because he didn't have surgery, this injury he had was a major injury. We all saw the plays. I'm not going to sit here and act like because he didn't have surgery that it wasn't a major knee injury. It was a major knee injury. The dude's been out for 6 months. So there's no Shaq Mason, at least we know he's in football shape.
You mean Hainsey?
Hainsey. Mason is playing guard. Yeah, Hainsey. That's what I meant. Hainsey. Yeah, Hainsey.
We all know what you meant, man.
Yeah, Hainsey. And he's a second-year guy. So, again, I don't see the major upgrade unless you take Hainsey and you move him to the guard, which he's played guard before in college, so he can play multiple positions. That's the only way bringing Jensen back upgrades our line is if you move Hainsey to the guard. If you don't do that, there's no upgrade. You still have a problem on the left side. So what is Jensen going to do? He can't block for the guard and the left tackle.
Right. Well, and, you know, and I mean, and the thing is that really, truthfully and honestly, It's not the left guard I'm worried about. It's the left tackle.
Left tackle is trash, folks. Left tackle is trash.
I'm more worried about Donovan Smith and everything like that being there at left tackle than I am what is his name? Leverett. I'm more worried about the left tackle position than I am the left guard position. Like, and here's the thing. I don't know if Hainsey, however you pronounce his last name, my apologies for mispronouncing it. I don't know if he's ever played left tackle. And the thing is that a playoff game is probably not the absolute best time to try somebody out in a new position. Just throwing that out there. So, should Ryan Jensen be dressed for the playoff game? Sure, why not? Okay? Because if something happens, yeah, I think he might be good for a few plays. But again, this all goes back to what type of drills and everything like that, what type of contact has he been having in these practices and everything like that that we're not seeing. Because you know that he's been somewhere else out of the public eye.
Yeah.
Practicing and all this. So, I mean, that's my question. Because I'm sorry. I would hate to see Jensen come back too soon, re-injure himself, and that be the end of his career. I would hate to see that. And you know as well as I do that the percentage of that happening when you come back too soon is through the roof. Man, look, we have gotten to where we are at with what we have got. Okay, yes, we are at 8-19. But you know what? That 8-9, it don't matter anymore. That 8-9 does not matter. Regular season is over. Everybody is 0-0. This is the postseason. So we are 0-0. Now, with that being said, again, I think we have a decent shot at beating Dallas. Like you said, Dallas has not been playing that well. But I don't think it's going to be like what it was before. I don't think it's going to be anything like week one. If it is, I'll be surprised. Maybe not real, real surprised, but I would be surprised.
Yeah.
But yeah, like I said, man, Jensen coming back and everything like that. I mean, if he's good to go, okay, cool, great. Bring it on. But I don't think he is 100%.
No, I don't think I don't think he's 100%. I think he's trying his best to get back and you know, help the team if he can as a veteran, as you know, one of the team leaders. But again, that help is mute if you still have people on that line that you know can't do their job. That is, first and foremost, have to be able to, you know, do your job.
Nope. I 1,000% agree.
Yeah, so, you know, I think we'll see, man. It's going to be interesting. But like you said, if I'm a Buzz fan, I'm not really hanging my hopes on him coming back and being that effective.
No. No, you're kind of crazy too. Just being honest.
I mean, he's
so what else you got?
He's in the trenches, right? He's in the trenches. In the trenches, man. It's tough. You gotta be on your game. Gotta be ready for the contact. You gotta be ready for a lot. So, that is that. But what we will do here, we're going to take a quick break, ladies and gentlemen. And when we get back, we're going to jump into, you know, week 18 action. And then we'll get into some, playoffs. And talk a little bit about this weekend matchups and, you know, what we expect out of these games. So with that being said, We will be right back after this break. This is Rat Pack Sports Show. We'll be back. All right, all right. Rat Pack Sports Show. We are back. We are live Wednesday night, Rat Pack Radio, WRPR, streaming online, ratpacksports.com, and also the Rat Pack Radio WRPR app. We're live on TuneIn as well. You can find us on there. You can find us on Play the Radio app if you're an iPhone user. TuneIn as well if you're an iPhone user. Android, you can find us. You can download the Rat Pack Radio WRPR app. Or you can go online, ratpacksports.com, and you can stream directly from the website, whether you're on the mobile or web browser, desktop. You can stream either way. So multiple ways you can listen. You can always go and download the podcast as well after the fact. Last week we had a great segment with Nicholas Lane for the NBA, talking NBA. So if you guys want to, you can, head over there and you can, download that, or you can listen to the replay throughout the week on the Rat Pack Radio Network. And, you can check out that replay as well. So with that being said, we're going to get back into it. Because it's not like a whole lot as far as like we crammed, it can't get it out or anything like that. But we do want to touch on the NFL and give it as we're at the end of the season here. We got the playoffs coming up here. This week, and before, I just want to say that, and I must have been asleep, because I did not know that last season that there was even a Monday night playoff game. So maybe it didn't cross my mind.
There was?
Yeah, apparently they said the Monday night playoff thing started last season. I'm like, I don't remember a Monday night playoff game last season. I mean, I would have watched it if it was, but I don't remember, like, off the top saying, you know what? I'm going to watch this Monday night playoff game. I don't remember that. So,
well, I guess I must have been asleep, too, because I don't remember a Monday night game.
No. And for the playoffs, again, and a friend of mine, we was joking around on Facebook, and he says, so if it's a Monday night playoff game, does that eliminate the wild card weekend? Because if you're going to say super wild card weekend, that's only super wild card weekend because you added two games. It doesn't take an effect that the Monday night game is on a whole new week. It's not even part of wild card weekend. And again, why the Monday night playoff game? Wouldn't that put the two teams that played in that game at a disadvantage because they got one less day to recover before they have to play another game?
I mean, that's kind of the way that I look at it. I mean, unless you're going to sit there and you're going to hold a Monday night game all through the playoffs, I mean, at the rate this is going, it wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, right. I mean, I wouldn't think that they would have more than just one Monday night playoff game. I mean, what would be the point?
See, this is my thing. So Saturday and Sunday, I don't mind.
Yes.
I don't mind Saturday and Sunday. I really don't. Okay, now, and I know what some listeners are going to say, well, if you don't mind the Saturday game, well, the people that played last Sunday, they're at a disadvantage because they had one last day.
Yeah.
Yeah, but here's the thing. That was one less day, and let's face it, we all know it. Okay, it's not no real big surprise that some of these teams really, I don't want to say they didn't try, because you do try every time you go out onto that field.
Yeah.
But some of the teams kind of treated it as another preseason game. Okay.
Yes.
Now, because there are some teams that didn't really have anything to play for. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers were one of them. It didn't matter if we won or lost. Our seed was locked in. Like, we were the number four seed, win or lose. We did not have anything to play for. So, yes, I'm about to make a lot of you guys upset. I don't care that we lost to the Falcons. I don't. I really don't. You know what I was happy to see? I was happy to actually be able to see Kyle Trask in a game to see exactly what he had. I was happy to see it. Why? Because that's all that game was. It was a preseason game, folks. There was no reason whatsoever that we even needed to start our starters. Other than to make sure that they kept the rust off and that they were good to go for the playoffs. That's it. Sorry, folks. That loss does not mean crap to me. I could care less. We could have been shut out, and I wouldn't have cared. I really want that. I watched the game.
Yeah.
And all that, but so what? We lost a meaningless game because there was nothing for us to play for except for another win that did not even, it didn't even register when it comes to the postseason. Like I said, I was just happy to see Trask out there just to see what he actually had.
Yeah, see, for me, it's not a big deal for me, you know, so to say, of us losing the game. But I watch these games, you know, all season, and you know, I've been watching football for quite some time, and that's just different, you know. For me, it's about mentality, right? You go into every game with the purpose of winning, and I had this problem, I had this beef, back in Levy Smith. I guess it was his first season when we tanked the New Orleans Saints game to draft Jameis Winston. And we were actually winning at the half, like 20-0. I mean, we were up big. And we come out in the second half, I don't recognize none of these dudes on the field. I don't believe in tanking. I don't care who, you know, Andrew Luck, Peyton Manning, okay, you know, maybe I'll let it pass for those type of dudes. But it wasn't no quarterback on the draft board of that stature. And that's what I thought about Winston. It just, to me, you go in a game with a mindset of we're going to win this game. And for a team that's been struggling all season, and I'm pretty sure our quarterback agrees with me, I want to win. I want to go into the playoffs with a positive feeling. I don't want to limp into the playoffs. I want to go into the playoffs with a positive feeling. I want to go into the playoffs feeling good. I want to go into the playoffs with the notion of, hey, you know, we had a good game last game. We finally figured it out. We finally got our rhythm. I'd rather go into the playoffs with a blowout win, a statement win, and to not be a team going into the playoffs under 500. Now, back when I was, you know, younger, you look at the quarterbacks, Jimmy Johnson, Bill Parcells, you know, North Turner, who else can I, you know, Mike Tomlin, Bill Belichick. I mean, they're still coaching. There's a reason why Mike Tomlin has been in Pittsburgh 15 years and never had a losing season. That's the reason why Bill Belichick, and I understand he had Brady, but he had a great defense. He had excellent depth on his roster. Even though they were going into the playoffs a lot of the times, already clinched the division, they played to win. And for a season that's been as down as the Bucks, I want to win this game. Give us a little bit of momentum. You're not momentuming yourself into the playoffs with a loss against the Atlanta Falcons, who tanked 6 weeks ago. So for me, I'm a little different in that mindset of if you're gonna win, I mean, if you're gonna lose, look like you want to win. And to that, they didn't look like they wanted to win because there was nobody on the field that could even lead them to a win. And I'm not one of these, well, it's you know, you don't want anybody to get hurt. Then don't even put the jersey on. Don't even play the game. Because no player is on that field thinking, I need to come off so I can be healthy for next week. That's the only way fans think. Players don't think that way. They want to be on the field. They want to play. They want to win, first and foremost.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a fan's mentality. That's a loser's mentality to not want to win. No matter if it's the last game of the season and you're playing for nothing because you already clinched, I tell you what, Dallas Cowboys had it sold up in the bag too. And had they starters played better, maybe they came out. Maybe they would have came out of that game, but they weren't playing well. So, guess what? They ended up playing the whole game, and they still lost. But at least the starters was out there trying to put some type of momentum together going into the next week. Now, Dallas in our shoes, you backpedaled your way and limped into the playoffs with a whole bunch of questions because you lost to a Washington team that was starting a third-string quarterback. And you got torched. So, to me, I'm on a play, man. I want to play to win. I'm not trying to hear this old, you know, let's keep our guys healthy, get them out of there. Guess what? If they're going to get hurt, they're going to get hurt. These guys been playing football, some of them, Tom Brady, been playing football for probably 40 years. Let's see, he's 45, 35 years. Let's say he started playing football when he was 10.
Yeah.
Okay, he's been playing football 35 years. Same thing with David. He's been playing all his life. Evans, these guys been playing football all their lives. The farthest thing they thinking about is getting hurt. They've played too many snaps. They've played too many years. You don't think about that stuff. Only fans. And for me, this fan base, I already think a lot of them just don't understand the game. But because they've been watching a long time, they feel like they know the game. You can watch the game and not know nothing you're talking about.
Right.
So,
go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, so for me, go win the game first. Like, go into that game, put your starters out there, go and win it. So get up, you know, two or three scores, then put those guys in. I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. But they didn't win the game. They put the guys in. They was already down. And, you know, obviously it didn't get better from that point. We still lost the game. But that's the way it was. So, yeah. That's my rant.
So I got something to say in contrast to that. Earlier, I said that I was okay with what Tampa did, and it kind of made it sound like I didn't want to win the game. Because I said I didn't care. Well, that was probably the wrong wording. Because I did want to win the game. But I also I guess what I should have said is I understand the moves that they made. And whether I agree with them or not, which, I mean, in all honesty, I guess I do kind of agree with them pulling the starters at some point.
Yeah.
And all that. And, you know, so I'd like to apologize for making it sound like that I didn't want to win the game. Of course, I want to win every game. But I also, regardless if we won or lost the game, it didn't really matter a lot to me on the standpoint of it actually like meaning something besides a win. And so yeah, I wanted to clarify that. Yes, I do not want to lose. But then again, it was one of those things where it was a game that game did not cost us anything but a win in the regular season. We were already locked in. So regardless if we won or lost, I wasn't going to quote unquote overreact or be completely I guess if we had been playing for a higher seed, I might have been a little more upset than what I was. But yeah, no, I do want to win. I But like I said, that this game was just kind of, okay, we lost. Now, next week, completely different story. Because starting next week, or I'm sorry, this weekend, it's one and done. If you lose. So, yeah, completely different scenario now. So what else is on your mind, Derek?
You know, getting into week 17 and
pick 7-10 for Sid.
Oh my bad. So getting into week 17 of the regular season, we, you know, had some games. Obviously, we just talked about the Bucks game and kind of, you know, hinted a little bit at the Monday night matchup, which I, you know, I'm not. Listen, I, you know, I played the game all my life, love football, right? But I'm not one of these more football is good type of dudes, right? I'm not that person that says, oh, I'm okay with a Monday night. No, man. Oh, more football is good. They'll just give me something else to do. Man, I got plenty of things, stuff that I could do. So I don't care for a Monday night football game in the playoffs. You know, wild card weekend, Saturday, Sunday, that's what I'm about. That's what I'm about. So we have the Monday night. We have the Monday night game here, you know, coming up. And we talked about that. So let's get into week 17, and then we'll jump into some of these other playoff games. And we won't talk about a lot of the games in week 17 because obviously there was, you know, there was some games here that really wasn't worth to even talk about. So you know, Vegas and Kansas City on Saturday, you know, they were playing for nothing. I mean, Kansas City, they clinched home field throughout the playoffs on that game. The other game on Saturday was a game I was looking forward to watching, and that was the Tennessee-Jacksonville game. Great game. I made a statement about what's the head coach of Tennessee Titans name? I always forget this dude's name. Mike Vrabel.
Vrabel.
You know, I made a comment about Mike Vrabel after that game because they ended the season on like an 8-game losing streak or something like that, 7 or 8 games. And they dealt with so many injuries. And they never made excuses. They just, you know, next man up, next man up. We know Tennessee has a good roster when Ryan Tannehill is healthy, right? That made a big difference. Tannehill missed at least half of this season with different injuries. But they were still playing for a division title. They were still playing for a chance to, go to the playoffs. Jacksonville hadn't been in this spot since the 90s. 99 was the last time. Actually, it wasn't 99, but it's been a while since Jacksonville been a playoff team. And this game meant something to them. It meant something to Tennessee. They were division rivals week 18 for all the Marbles. Great game. Jacksonville did exactly what I thought they could do and would do was pull out the game, win the game. I had Jacksonville winning the game. But Tennessee Titans, Vrabel had those boys ready to play. They had intensity. They executed well. Defense, obviously, a 20-16 game, you got more of a defensive style of game going on there. But I thought the game was over, man. Tennessee had a lead, and Jacksonville was just clawing and fighting their way back. And eventually, Jacksonville ended up getting the strip sack. I think it was a strip sack. And scoring the touchdown, you know, at the end to pull out the game. Now, I want to give props to, again, to the Tennessee Titans, you know, for their hard work and you know, dedication that they showed this season through all the injuries. But Josh Dobbs, I remember this kid, you know, from the Tennessee Volunteers some years back. Now, in Tennessee, Josh Dobbs was the man. Ability to throw the ball, ability to move the ball with his legs, you know, throw on the run. Dobbs was the man. And, you know, he came into the league, you know, bouncing around a little bit to some teams, couldn't find his home. And it's been about 4 or 5 years since he's, you know, played a lot of minutes. And I thought he played his best. I thought he played as well as he could over these last 2 weeks. And I liked the, I really like what a lot of things that Dobbs did, you know, with the ball in his hands, moving in the pocket. You know, just throwing the ball downfield with accuracy and, you know, just being, you know, leading that Tennessee Titans team when really all they had was, you know, big man at running back. And, you know, I'm glad Tennessee didn't jump the gun, their management. Didn't jump the gun and fire Vrabel because they didn't make the playoffs. Because I would have thought that would have been a terrible move if they had they done that, but they didn't. So,
oh, absolutely.
Smart organization.
You know, Josh Dobbs, he was drafted by the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yep,
and he spent a number of years in that organization. And set back in it was in maybe not have been the backup, but he was in that quarterback room with one of the top guys, Ben Roethlisberger.
Yep, Ben, Big Ben.
And in that offense, you know, I mean, an offense that was tailored to a big man and everything and all that. Now, why does that make a difference? Because I would like to think that he learned a lot while in that organization. So when he did actually get his chance to start, because he, if I'm not mistaken, he was with Cleveland, but never got a chance to start.
Yeah, he never got a chance.
Now he's in Tennessee. He got his chance, and he made the most of it. I'm with you. I liked a lot of what I saw. But I have been touting Josh Dobbs since he was drafted. I said when he was drafted, I said that if he gets his chance, he will make the most of it, and he has. And I'm really happy to see it. I know a lot of people are not going to like what the next thing I have to say, but I actually think Josh Dobbs played better than Malik Willis.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, keep going, man. I'll be right back. But I agree with you on that.
So, just kind of speaking on Josh Jobs for a little bit longer and everything, it's not a rant, it's just kind of what I see and everything. Josh Jobs, to me, he has that Cam Newton type body set. And I do not know what the future holds for the quarterback situation there in Tennessee. I do not know, specifically what Ryan Tannehill's contract is or anything like that. If they do decide to move on from Tannehill, which here at the Rat Pack, we've been kind of those mini cheerleaders for Ryan Tannehill for a while. I do think that if they do decide to move on from Tannehill, I do think it needs to be a centered game around Josh Dobbs. Now, I do not know. I have not gotten confirmation on this, but supposedly a number of assistant coaches with the Tennessee Titans were fired. And somebody even said that one of them was the offensive coordinator. Again, I don't know. I haven't even looked it up to see who all it was. But if it does happen to be the offensive coordinator, then I would strongly suggest that they go after one of the offensive coordinators that was there around Carolina when Cam Newton was there. I believe that one of them was Shula. And again, I'm not exactly sure where he is at, but if he is available, if I was Tennessee and that offensive coordinator spot is open, I would definitely gauge his interest to actually bring him in and to work with Dobbs. The other side to this coin is that whereas they are similar, I do think that with everybody, they're going to have, even though they have a similar skill set, I do think that, I guess, some of the skills you might say might be better than others. I do not think that he's going to be an exact replicate of Cam Newton, but I do see similarities, and I do see that being a path forward for the Tennessee Titans and everything going forward if they do decide to move on from Tannehill. Again, I do like Tannehill and everything, but maybe his course in Tennessee is over. So, I mean, that's just kind of what my thoughts are. Like I said, I really haven't looked into the situation, so I'm not really going to speak in depth on it. I just kind of calling it as I see it. But I would actually like to hear your guys' thoughts and everything. So, go ahead, put your thoughts in the on the Rat Pack page. If you're tuning in with us on streaming, go ahead, put your thoughts in. I would definitely like to hear and read and see what you guys think.
All right, yeah, so back to, what you were saying with Dobbs. We all see quarterbacks come out of college, and I'm going to be realistic. 80% of them probably need to sit and develop. That
right.
The 20% that comes out and does well from day one, that's 20% is small. That's a very small number of quarterbacks that get drafted. So if 10 quarterbacks get drafted, guess what? Maybe two of them probably going to be starters from day one. The rest of them, they're going to start. They're going to look terrible, go to the bench, lose their confidence, play under bad organizations, and then get traded or get released and go somewhere else. So Dobbs waited his turn. Another guy who waited his turn and is Geno Smith. He had his chance. He was a high draft pick, came in, started from day one with the Jets. It didn't work out. Why? Because he wasn't ready. So he sat on the bench for a long time after being released from the Jets. And he's now probably going to win Comeback Player of the Year or at least some type of award because what he's done this season, nobody expected. And you can attribute that to the Seahawks and the way they developed and brought him along. And for what it's worth, had him sitting and playing behind, watching a guy like Russell Wilson for 6-7 years. Don't think that didn't have an impact on the way Geno Smith is playing now. Because it has. And I'm not sure if, you know, the Seahawks are going to pull it off, but, you know, they're playing in San Fran. And, you know, Geno Smith has been steady all year long.
Well, I mean, let's just kind of face facts here, man. When Geno Smith was there with the Jets,
he was terrible.
That was a dumpster fire.
Oh yeah.
We even talked about that inadequacy that front office had. And, you know, and the thing is that we kind of attributed that to Todd Bowles,
mm-hmm.
is a thing and all that. But, you know, there was also, I saw certain key characteristics in our Bucs team this year that I saw in the Jets team. And whereas I believe we won more games this year than what Todd Bowles did with the Jets, the similarities there are still, they're there. So, no, this all goes back to one of the things that I'm very big on is just because a quarterback fails somewhere does not mean that the quarterback is not good. It just may be that he is in the wrong system. And if you look, this is a exact thing, or this is exactly what, it's relevant to Geno Smith. Whatever offense that was, they were running with the Jets while he was there, it didn't fit him. If you look at the offense that Seattle was running, it fits him like a glove.
Yeah.
And you know what? Shout out to Pete Carroll, because, I mean, we all just kind of looked and said, man, what are you doing when he traded Russell Wilson? Well, here's the thing. And no, this isn't all Russell Wilson's fault. I still think he's a good quarterback. But Russell Wilson is sitting on the couch. Geno Smith is playing in a playoff game. So does Pete Carroll actually does Pete Carroll actually know something that we didn't? I mean, because the man has been constant since he came into the NFL from USC. Shout out to Pete Carroll. I mean, he's got Geno Smith playing probably some of the best football of his career.
Yeah, yeah, he does, man. And at the beginning of the season, I kind of figured, okay, let things calm down. It's the beginning of the season. He probably won't be doing that forever. And as you can see, he's still playing. So, but, you know, it's to me, it's a matter of just making, doing what you got to do. And you know, getting the job done. So last week in week 18, you know, you had the Miami Jets. We were just talking about the Jets with Geno Smith. Jets again, tough game there, and Miami's in trouble because Tua hasn't been cleared yet, and I don't believe he will be before the game. So this might be a one-out type of deal. I mean, Baltimore-Cincinnati was supposed to be a good game, but Cincinnati took care of business, and with everything else happening, you know, yep. And then, you know, you had the Colts and the Texans. You know, Lovie Smith pulling that game out. You know, tough season for them. Lovie Smith, you know, was fired later that night. Carolina beat New Orleans 10-7. Pittsburgh did what they had to do to finish the season. Other than that, really, week 17 was kind of dull. I mean, you know, you had the late games, Detroit, Dallas, you know, Detroit at Washington, and then, I mean, not Detroit, but Dallas at Washington, and then Green Bay was hosting the Lions, which.
Hey, you know what? I'm just going to say this.
What's that?
I said this when he was hired, and I still stand by this.